is here right now. Help you receive. Jesus is standing near. Ready your heart to cheer. Jesus is
conveying his testimony, how each of us have our own story in Christ.
Yes.
And so this is my story. This is my song. That's my testimony. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Praise the Lord. We know what our story is, but collectively we can sing it as well. So let's start with the verse. First verse.
Delight, visions of rapture. is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my
minister this morning. Jesus is here right now. He's ready. If he's ready and something doesn't happen, that's on me. I want to be ready.
Yes.
And that second song, what was the name of that second song?
Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Yes.
I was thinking of praising him. No matter what season in life, Sister Kellen, no matter what generation you are, he's worthy to be praised. When we're at the lowest of lows, where everything is going okay, I want to praise him. And then he is my special possession. That gives me a confidence and a boldness to walk out of the door of my house every day, to walk out of the house of God every day. This Jesus is mine.
Yes.
He's yours, but he's mine too. There's enough of Jesus to go around for everybody. He is not lacking. He is not deficient. He can give you an abundance today in an overflow in your vessel, but he can also give me an abundance and overflow in my vessel. Lord, take this cup and fill it up. I want to walk out of here just spilling of God's goodness, of God's greatness that he has done in me and that he is doing in us collectively. That's exciting that we get to walk out of here if we allow ourselves to be filled up, to have an overflow and just to spill out in our community, to spill out in our workplace tomorrow, to spill out in a restaurant. Where were you? Moses, you were on the mountain with God. There's this glow. There's this heavenly glow that is just portraying off of you. Where have you been? We were at the house of God, in the presence of God, in a spirit-filled environment. We're not only in a spirit-filled environment, but God has filled me with his spirit, and he goes wherever I go.
Right.
That is awesome.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'll be, Jesus is mine. go. Everywhere I'll be, oh Jesus is my life. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my life. Everywhere I'll go. Everywhere I'll be, oh Jesus is
He's mine. All mine. I didn't have to wait till an altar call in the second hour to get something from the Lord. I could have it right here because He is ready to pour it out right now in Jesus' name. I'm thankful for a God. He is ready and able right now, this very moment. What would take us a lifetime, He could do in one moment in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I am so thankful to be in the house of God, not just any house of God. There's places of worship all over this town, and we had prayer for the city and any other places of worship, but there is just something special, that something that can be compared to any other place like this one. Take a good look around. Look at all the elbow room you have right now. God is going to fill this place. He has already sent His angels before us. He has already prepared a way. He has spoken in advance. We just got to believe it. This is already done. Lord, what part do You want me to play in this? Your part is no less significant than any others. Right. What your ministry is on one-on-one with somebody is no different than somebody standing behind a pulpit. God wants to use every one of us because every soul matters to Him. I'm excited. I'm anticipating. I'm encouraged to see new faces come through these doors the last 2 months, but I'm also anticipating people we've never seen. I'm anticipating seeing prodigals come through the door. Ones that they were gone, but there's a jar. We're constantly praying for these ones that have walked away. But God, this has nothing to do with the lesson I have to speak this morning. But you know what? This is God's time. This is His hour. He could do what He wants. I'm just a mailman. He could totally change this thing up. Are we in agreement? Let God have His way in this place today. These next few moments, this next hour, what an amazing thing could happen. If God wants to blow our minds all the time. And through every season in life, He will honor you, and He will honor your faithfulness and your consistency. And you may feel like, I'm the only one doing what I'm doing, and I feel like I'm alone. But He is smiling upon you because He's going to bless you, and He's going to honor you, and He's going to pour out something that you can't imagine. He wants to blow your mind. He does. He sincerely does. And I do want to share that with you in the next few minutes and infuse this in my lesson. This morning's lesson is entitled The Heart of a Leader. I want to get right into the text. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from the beginning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. And go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take thee a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto him me, whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peacefully? And he said, Peacefully. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. This is our focus verse. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And Samuel said unto Jesse in verse 11, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto thee, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. And he sent and brought him. Now he was a ruddy and well withal of beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brother. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. You could be seated at this time. There was smoke coming out of a building in Washington, D.C. not too long ago. The cause of the fire was unknown, but many of the residents were helpless to escape. A Marine barracks was just down the street. These Marines stationed there saw the smoke, and about 100 of them came running to the rescue. With their help, the fire department and the paramedics were able to rescue all the residents, treat them for their injuries, and shelter them until the loved ones arrived. This wasn't on the soldiers' agenda that day, but to them it was important and an impulsive thing for them to do. They were in need, and the Marines were there to help. When God looks for someone to lead, we would expect him to choose from the elite. He could pick from the best looking, the strongest, and the most intelligent. But when God is looking for leaders, it doesn't matter how old, how smart, or what the person's background is. He looks for availability and equips those who are willing to serve. If we just have a mindset or we're just willing to serve God no matter what, he will use us in a way that will blow our minds. We just have to allow ourselves, Lord, I'm available to you. Every one of us in here is a leader. We are called to evangelize. So you know what? You are called into the fivefold ministry when you walk outside these doors. You're called to evangelize in your community. You're called to evangelize in the workplace. No telling what God will do if we just make ourselves available and listen to the voice of God is before we walk out the door every day. And to be attentive, to just fix our mind and our thoughts towards God, to constantly hear his voice. We open our hearts and our minds to him every Sunday, but we should not close our hearts and our minds to God on Monday and Tuesday, and then open them again on Wednesday night, and then shut them again on Thursday and Friday. And we are subject to routines, and we're creatures of habit. But it's so important to hear the voice of God in our life, because God may be speaking to you specifically about an individual, about an area in your life, concerning somebody else that is on God's prayer list. And it's up to us to be attentive to hear the voice of God. And if we did this, our lives would be changed. Our lives would be full. If you feel empty in your life, I encourage you to open your heart and your mind to hear God's voice every day, because he wants to fill it with things. He wants to fill your life with things. He has an agenda for you every day. He doesn't want your day to be void and useless and just nothing. He wants to fill it. He wants to fulfill things, dreams in your life. And it just takes a willingness and availability. God, be it unto me according to your word. It's amazing the mindset of Mary, and I keep going back to her mindset and her attitude and her spirit, was be it unto me according to your word. She was favored by God, but being favored by God wasn't a glamorous thing. She was on a run for 2 years. There was a census taking place. People were, these children were being murdered because Herod was angry and he was jealous at that time. So she was pregnant on the run. She left her hometown. She had to go. There wasn't no shower for her. There wasn't no welcoming party. She didn't have the nursery decorated, but God found favor with Mary. And Mary was mightily used by God because of her spirit, her willingness, her loneliness, her prayer life, her private prayer life, her meekness, her humbleness. God will use that. If we are humble, if we are meek, we are willing, God will use us and do a work through us continually. And it's just an openness. I just feel like we need to take a moment, and a lot of times we'll shut some things out in our life. And God says, those little things in your life that you are holding back are prohibiting me from pouring out big blessings in your life. And I just feel led to say that. What you may think is insignificant, God is saying, that is a big deal to me. And don't hold that back from me, because I want to pour out something huge in your life. But I want the little things in your life as well as the big things in your life. And the things that we may seem big may not seem a big deal to God, but the things that may seem little to us are a big deal to God. God wants everything. He wants our all. He is a jealous God. And it's important for us to have those right mindset, to be recalibrated, and to say, God, what I want to align my will and my heart up with you every day. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed at the age of 39. According to his autopsy, he had the heart of a 60-year-old. Doctors believe that his heart aged due to the stress caused by his work as a civil rights leader. While his physical heart was in poor shape, his spiritual heart was stronger than ever. He had the resilience in the face of constant political pressure and physical harm, and was demonstrated in his final speech given the night before his death. He stated, "Only when it is dark enough can you see the stars." Within 24 hours of that speech, he was gone, and his movement saw its darkest hours. The leader's heart can't waver from the path ahead. When others lose heart, a leader's heart is encouraged because a leader sees the end result. The leader has the vision. Even better, a leader is able to see the glory that God is able to get, no matter what is faced right in front of them at that time. When other hearts fail or become or fail because of lack of fear, a leader's heart will be strengthened in the fire of their trial. Leaders also realize that the power of God is on their side. God is with me. He is for me. He is mine, all mine. Jesus is mine. I have a confidence. Everybody can walk out of here with boldness and a confidence today that Jesus is mine. You can say this to yourself, my personal testimony, Jesus is mine. My perspective has totally changed from the time I walked in here because Jesus is my special possession. He is mine, all mine. And there is enough for everyone. I'm so thankful for that in Jesus' name. This is a story of Samuel and Saul, and Samuel having this weight and this mantle of having to see this first king of Israel being removed and being mourning over Saul's, God removing his presence from Saul. And he has to not only see that take place, but he also has to go and prepare a replacement for her and anoint another king, which we know will be David. And he gets emotional. He suffers with depression. He deals with thoughts of, I failed to convey and to convince Saul to be the leader that he needs to be. Samuel did everything he was supposed to do according to what God commanded him to do. But Saul continued to do what he wanted to do in the flesh. And that's not on the leader. We are given the opportunity to hear the word of God every day, to have proper influences in our life. It is our responsibility to always be attentive and to always be ready to respond because Jesus is ready. He's always looking for our response. We have a choice to make. Are we going to respond in the flesh? Are we going to do our own thing? Are we going to kill the flesh and walk in the spirit and be obedient to his word? We have that choice we have to make every day of our life. It isn't just once a month or once a week or on a Sunday morning when we choose to leave here. It's every day. I have important decisions to make in my life. And it's in verse 1, it says, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from the beginning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." God is a planner. He always thinks ahead. Saul was a king that the people wanted. David was somebody that God saw way ahead, way when he was underdeveloped, way when his dad didn't see him as anybody but just some red-faced kid out taking care of sheep. His older brother was the best looking. David had a lot more bigger brothers than him, more seasoned, more equipped. Knew how to deal with life, knew what dad wanted. But God does not look on outward appearance. God looks at the heart. God was looking at David long ago when nobody else was looking. God was looking at David's prayer life. God was looking at his personal battles when he had to deal with that lion and a bear. Those are parallels. We have things that we deal with on a personal level, and God wants us to go from victory to victory. And he has a confidence in us more than we have a confidence in ourselves at times to get the victory in our lives and situations. And God saw the victory that David had. He was in an impossible situation. He was definitely out-strengthened by the bear. He was out-strengthened by this lion, by this fierce lion. It was no match for David being just a teenager. But God saw his personal battle, and he overcame the lion. He overcame the bear. And he had this overcoming spirit. He had a care for sheep. He had a care for innocence and for the vulnerability of what he was had the responsibility of taking care of. So these are all character traits that may be overlooked by our first appearance. 90% of what we see is visual, of what we retain is visual, and we'll make decisions. And marketing firms spend millions of dollars, and people pay a lot of money to get their products to be sold through marketing firms to get people to buy things and to use to what we see. And what we see matters, and sometimes we're hasty to make decisions by what we see at first glance. But being a child of God, and it's important to hear his voice. More importantly, we need to be, as children of God, is not by what we see, but what we hear. I need to be attentive to hear the voice of God every day. Because the world and our culture is going to steer us in a direction to what we may picked up on a first instinct. And what kind of decisions would we make, and how would it change our life if we were more attentive to hear the voice of God first in our life than making a hasty decision on what we see at first glance? We see billboards all the time. The commercials, they're even on Pandora. You hear things, you see things. It's everywhere. Everything is visual to us. But as children of God, we need to discipline ourselves to stop and just hear the voice of God. We should probably have prayer meetings where nobody just says a word. We just get in here, nobody says a word. I don't want to hear nothing until we hear the voice of God speak in our prayer service. I've done that in my personal life. I'm not making a call to do that. That's not my call. But I encourage you in your personal walk with God, in your devotion time, to just not say a word. Just be attentive and focus and wait to hear God's voice in your life. And don't do anything. Don't make a decision in your life, especially a big decision. If there's a situation with a house or with a car or a promotion or relocation. I had to buy a car 2 months ago. I didn't want to buy a car, but I had to buy one because I wrecked my other one. But I'm like, Lord, I have only so many days to get a car. And time is running out, and I got to buy this car at night. But I had a peace because I was praying about it, and I thought about it today. I'm like, should I have bought it or should I not have bought it? And I thought about it. Like, Lord was with me in this purchasing process. I have a peace of mind about it. He was with me through the whole way. And it could be, maybe that's not a big deal to you, but it was a big deal to me. Maybe it's making a phone call to somebody. Maybe God is laying upon your heart to call somebody after church today. Maybe you're thinking, got somebody in your mind right now. I need to encourage this person that isn't here today, that to let them know that God is thinking of them and that they're of great worth. Whatever it may be, that could be the voice of God speaking to you right now. Am I listening to what he has to say? God was going to choose the next king from the house of Jesse. His great-grandfather was Boaz and ended up marrying Ruth. She found favor with God, and Ruth had a son named Obed. This inclusion of a Gentile woman into the tribe of Judah and the prophecy concerning this is in Ruth 4. It reads, "And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath born unto him." Ruth was determined and had a made-up mind a long time ago, before God would bless her the way that God did bless her, that she had her heart and her mind directed toward the people of God. I don't care if I get anything out of it. She had a mighty, she didn't have nothing. She goes, I'm going to get to where the people of God are. That nothing else matters to me. And God honored that and saw that. I encourage you to stay faithful no matter what season in your life. Because God will bless you. God has a desire to blow your mind. All he's looking for is faithfulness. You may go through a season in your life. And I went through a season of my life literally 3 years ago. And I'm obligated to testify that when I saw the worst, and I went through the worst hour of my life, I believe God was smiling and saw me 3 years ahead of time to where I'm at today. And every day, from the first day, I didn't see it. I didn't see this for 3 years coming. I'll probably be emotional like this the rest of my life because the way God was good to me through every season of my life. I remember just days before when I knew that my family was going to be torn apart. I ran around this place twice. I'm like, God, I'm going to praise you no matter what. The worst of times or the best of times, I'm going to praise you no matter what. And in 55 days from the day, it was on October 18th, I did ask Andrea Wolfer to marry me, and she said yes. And in 55 days from today, we're going to get married. And she is going to be a part of this church. And I'm excited that not only she's going to be a part of my life, but she's going to be a part of everybody's life here. So I'm encouraged for you because I'm excited to what she not only she brings to me, and she has a love for children. She has a children. She has a passion for Spanish ministry. She doesn't speak Spanish very well, but she's at 2 o'clock. She's at the church, and they have a Spanish service at 3 o'clock. And she's just loving on these kids, and she's there from like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. She has a burden, and nobody's asking her to do it. She's just doing it on her own, and I'm just bragging on her right now. So that's just the beginning. There'll be more of that to come. So. Samuel had this weighing on him at the time. He was to anoint David to be king. He thought, if I'm going to go anoint David to be king and Saul sees what I'm going to be doing, I could be killed. He had that weighing on him. He had something weighing on him of seeing Saul not fulfill his duties and falling short of the expectation that God had intended for him. He had the weight of anointing David to be king. He had this weight of the people of Israel asking for another king instead of a judge because his kids were unfaithful. They were corrupt. And the people of Israel saw this. And so he had all this pressure weighing on him as a leader. And one thing we need to do if we are not in a position of leadership is to pray for our leaders. When I started studying this and going over this lesson this weekend, I got thinking of, I don't pray for our president enough. I don't pray for Mike Pence enough. I don't pray for their families, their administration. I need to be praying every day. If I'm praying for my kids, I need to be praying for this nation and the leaders of this nation. I need to be praying for our pastor. I need to be praying for these Sunday school teachers that are there right now because of the burden that they have for these children, for the ones that are picking up children out on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. I need to be praying and standing in the gap. If I'm not doing one of these things, I need to at least be praying for them. They need our prayers. They need that hedge of protection around them. They need to be encouraged. I don't know anybody in my lifetime, and I'm sure you as well, has seen a president being attacked more than our president right now. It is incredible. I believe it is God giving him the strength to not walk out the doors and say, I don't need this anymore. God has a plan, and we are pro-Israel, and this president is pro-Israel, and I'm thankful for that. And that alone should give us motivation to pray for a president every day. God will always look at the heart. He will not look at outward appearance. He will look at you, and he will look at your prayer life. He will assess things there. You can have the best dress on. You can have the nice pocket chip to match your suit coat. It doesn't matter. He is looking at the heart of the person. He is looking at what you do when nobody else is around, nobody else is looking. David, God had his eye on David. He said, he's a worshiper. He is singing to me when nobody else is around. He isn't waiting until a congregation gets together. He is stringing his heart, and he is playing a beautiful song before me. And you know what? You don't have to hit the harmony. You don't have to hit the tune every time. You don't have to be the most talented singer. But if you sing with a heart before the Lord, you put a smile on God's face, a huge smile. And I want to put that smile on his face every day. And I want that smile to be contagious. What are you so happy? What puts that smile on your face? It's the hope of God. It's the promise. It's his spirit living within me. It's this joy that's overflowing in my life. If you feel deficient in any way, you need to just open yourselves up and say, God, fill this cup up. I need an overflow. God is ready to give us an overflow anytime. He is ready. He was ready before we walked in the doors this morning to give us an overflow. I just want to respond and say, God, give me that overflow. Samuel would ask, are these all your sons? Instantly, godly wisdom would kick in, and Jesse tells him that the youngest was out tending sheep. In Jesse's eyes, the oldest son had the maturity, he had the look, he had dad's approval, but he did not have God's approval. David would be called to the house. And in the South, there's an expression, call to the house isn't necessarily always a good thing. Typically, it means that somebody's in trouble. Depending on the situation, you're either going to run or you're going to take your time because there could be dad out there grabbing a stick off the tree. I remember my dad had this specific whistle that could almost break glass. When I heard that, I literally just took on a wind sprint back to the house because he only whistled that to get my attention. And his whistle was like nobody else's. You could hear from 2 blocks away. It was almost ear piercing from 200 feet away. So I knew that it was time to get home in a hurry. It said he was red faced. That means that he was in a hurry to get home. And I know that this generation could care less what mom says or does or dad says or does, but there was a certain amount of respect that dad had or a parent had that even a leader in the church had. And you know what? It's us. It's our responsibility to show that honor and respect to the leaders in our church, no matter who they are. And when we portray that respect, that is going to rub off on the generation before us to say, you know what, if it's important for brother and sister Fredrickson to have a respect for this particular person or these individuals, maybe I need to as well. And any generation could do this and be that example. I want to wake up every day because we are all creatures of habit, and to hear and to have my focus on hearing what God has for me to say every day. It wasn't in a room off to the side where nobody else was. David was anointed in front of his family, his dad, his brothers, the elders in the town of Bethlehem. There was no question. It wasn't Big Brother Eliab that got the anointing. It was David, the one with the red face, taking care of dad's business out in the field. Years ago, a pastor in a local church began to travel frequently. The church service, prior to each time he was to be gone, he would announce the name of the person who would be in charge when he wasn't there. This was normal in the church for many years. Many didn't see the relevance at the time, but years later, a younger pastor took over the church. Over time, he began to lose many subordinate leaders within the church without understanding why. One day, a well-respected elder pulled him aside and stated the importance of publicly naming or anointing those whom he delegates in authority in order to remove all doubt and argument over who's in charge. There was no doubt or argument who got anointed to be the next king. It was David in front of everybody. There was no confusion. It wasn't the oldest. It wasn't the firstborn. It wasn't the middle brother. It wasn't the second to the youngest or the second to the oldest. It was David. Everybody knew it. There was no question. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that very day. It's the heart is the essence of what's inside of us. And Jesus explained this in Matthew 15, 18 through 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. This isn't to say that everything that we think is pure evil, but if it is harboring within our heart, it eventually is going to come out. And this is why we need to have this mindset continually. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Having a lengthy and righteous-sounding prayer will not fool God. It's not the length of a prayer anyways. It's always the depth of a prayer. Psalms 19:14 says this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I'm going to close with this if we could stand. Vince Lombardi made this quote, leaders are made, they are not born. Though it may seem that the greatest leaders throughout history were born with something special that others didn't have, but each was born with different gifts and has to develop those gifts to their fullest potential. It's in the developing process that great leaders emerge. Jesus demonstrated through his mentorship of the disciples how important it is to develop strong future leaders. Throughout Scripture, individuals from different eras and circumstances would fail or succeed on this one common factor, the condition of their relationship with God. This doesn't just apply to a leader alone, but it applies to every individual. What is the condition of my relationship with God today? Yesterday's gone. I can't get that back. But I can do is I can reestablish my relationship with God. If it needs to be tweaked, if I need readjusting, I can adjust it right now. I can take the next few moments. We're going to open up the altars at this time. to prepare our hearts and minds for the next service. And I would like to encourage everyone to be mindful and be reverent of the time, the next few minutes as we gather. And if you need to find a place to pray, you could do it at your seat. And if you see anybody talking, if you could kindly ask them, tap them on the shoulder and kind of go beyond the walls out there. So I encourage you to all take these next few minutes and purify your heart. I need this as well. I am preaching to myself. If I had a big mirror here, I'd be pointing at that person in the mirror and say, I need to purify my heart. I need to continually keep my heart clean daily, because things just creep in that we're even unaware of. If we could just take a few moments and pray and prepare and pray for the next portion of our service today.